You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are.
Big thanks to the sponsor of this episode, Tropicana Lean. If you're anything like me, you're always on the hunt for new family favourites that are lower in sugar and full of flavour.
Absolutely. So we have to share that we're loving Tropicana's new juice drink, Tropicana Lean, which has 40% less sugar than fruit juice on average, but still full of taste. It's also got absolutely no added sugars or sweeteners.
Delicious! Now, let's meet this week's guest. Hello, sweat, snot and teary people. How are we today? I am very stressed. I can't cope with homeschooling and doing my job and living my life and all of the things that are required when you're a human being. Wendy, how are you?
Similar. I think that there are many things that I am good at, and being a teacher is not one of them. And my daughters agree that I'm pretty crap at it. And I just think all mums and dads all around the UK, I feel your pain. This is just crap. So that's how I am.
Okay, well, I'm glad we are in the same boat and feeling the same thing. So without any further ado, we're going to introduce this week's guest, who also has a child and therefore is probably doing some element of homeschooling and therefore is probably having a nervous breakdown similar to ours. Welcome, Jessica Plummer. How are you today?
Thank you for having me. I am, in a similar boat to you guys, I think, but I'm okay otherwise. Just going with the flow.
So the first question we ask our guests every week is, because of the name of our podcast, is have there been any sweat, snot or teary moments in your house yet today?
Do you know what? Not yet today. There was quite a lot yesterday because of a maths project that myself and my four-year-old were doing together.
Oh, lordy lord, that sounds bad.
It is what it is, I guess. But so far today's been quite good. But we have quite literally woken up and, met with you guys. I'm still in my pyjamas. I probably shouldn't have admitted that, but it's just the way it is.
Well, I'll let you in on a secret. I'm still in mine too.
Yay!
I put eyeliner on for you lot. Hang on a minute. I'm dressed. Oh, I've got eyeliner on. I've even had a
Get the violins out to allow for homeschooling. In part of the day, I now start work at 6:30 in the morning, and I'm buggered if I'm going to get dressed and put makeup on. It's by 6:30 a.m. So there you go.
No,
good point.
So, what is a normal morning like in the JP household?
In the JP household, so I've tried recently to give myself a bit of a schedule to follow. Otherwise, I will just lose my mind. We'll stay in our pajamas all day and, eat crap and watch TV. So we try and give ourselves a set time to wake up, just because I find that it helps me manage my time better. So we roughly wake up around 8 o'clock, have breakfast, and I tell myself that I don't need to worry about anything. I'm not going to put too much pressure on myself until 9:30, which is where my daughter will go online and have a conversation with her teacher and have a 30-minute lesson of phonics, which I will use to have a shower, brush my teeth and do all of that kind of stuff. After that, we do roughly around like an hour and a half of homeschooling-ish until lunchtime, which after lunchtime we kind of just free reign, do whatever. If it's a nice day, we'll go outside to the park and have some exercise or do some arts and crafts. My house is a mess. My house is really messy at the moment, but just trying not to think about that too much.
And yours and mine both.
I think one thing I need to remind myself at the moment is to just not put too much pressure on myself. At the start of lockdown, I felt really guilty that, I wasn't doing 6 hours of homeschooling and handing in all the assignments by the end of the day and things like that. I think just putting less pressure on myself and Noah. I mean, she's only 4 years old. Some kids don't even go to school till they're seven.
Yeah, four is tiny. As long as she's happy, that's all that matters, isn't it?
Exactly. And as long as I'm happy, I think happy mummy, happy baby.
Now, Jess, I have a confession that in that I've never watched I'm a Celeb before until this year. Oh. So my daughter's got completely hooked on I'm a Celeb this year, and therefore I had to watch it too. And I've always been a bit like, oh yeah, I'm a Celeb, not bothered. But oh my God, I was addicted. Have you recovered? Because that was pretty hardcore.
That was full-on stuff.
The bugs, the food, that drink challenge.
The vomiting. You vomited. Like, you vomited. Like, it's a big deal.
I did. Do you know what? It's so funny because you go on and you feel like, oh, you know, I've got the... I think you think about it, but you don't think about it too much. It was as hardcore as it looked, but... I can't lie, there's been moments within homeschooling that I thought, I wonder if the castle would be easier than this right now, here like this. I think something that was really nice and I took for granted whilst I was there is that there was no social distancing. So there wasn't any, no one needed to wear a mask in the castle. We were allowed to touch each other. We were allowed to, you know, stand closer than 2 meters, which was lovely. And it almost feels a little bit like I've left and I want to go back. Get me back in the castle.
Yeah, it's kind of like its own little world, isn't it?
Yes.
Who was your favourite castle mate?
Oh, do you know what? We all really, really got on as a group. There wasn't anybody in the castle that I would feel like I wouldn't want to be left alone with them in a lift, if you know what I mean. But I would probably say... Giovanna and Holly were like my roommates. They were the people that slept closest to me and I probably spent most of my time with.
But you had that bonding experience with Shane over those, quite frankly, the grimmest drinks I have. I don't know how you did that. I was gagging on the sofa.
Was that the milkshake with like the chicken's feet in it or whatever?
Yes.
Oh, geez Louise.
Yes. No, Shane, I am so happy that I did that trial with Shane. I couldn't have done it with anybody else because he just made me laugh the whole time and he just made it feel like... Because sometimes I felt like when I was in the castle, it was hard to remember this isn't real life. You don't actually live here. And I think that his comedy throughout that trial helped me to remember, like, this is all just a bit of a laugh. It's all for fun.
There's two more things I want to ask about I'm a Celeb. So the first one is I have heard... since that trial took so much longer than we saw. You were drinking that shit for hours, basically.
Oh, no, stop.
Is that right?
That can't be true. Really?
I think I was told it was 55 minutes.
Oh!
From start to the end, yeah. There was so much that they cut, because do you know what? I confess, I haven't watched the show back. I find it really hard to watch myself, but I did watch that trial and... yeah, so much of it they cut out. I mean, in a good way, I guess. There was a lot of spitting. There was a lot more being sick. There was probably a lot more swearing. But yeah, the whole thing took 55 minutes and they had to cut it down to, I think it was only 12 minutes in the end.
And you both got really ill after it, didn't you?
So I was ill only really for that evening. I woke up the next day fine. Shane, however, bless him, was sitting on the toilet for about 5 days after. I know. I think because I was sick so much, I got it out of my system.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that's true. You probably did a quite sensible thing without reading it. Yeah. So what I'm fascinated by is, so let's say they phone you up and say, oh, do you want to come on I'm a Celeb? And you're like, oh yeah, okay. And then does your contract say, we take no responsibility for how many times you vomit, the fact that you might have to eat rat's tails that will give you, I don't know, cholera? Like, how does it work? Like, do you know exactly what you're signing up to? And then do you just sign your whole life away? Or how does it work?
Do you know what? I've watched the show almost every year, bits of it almost every year. So I felt like I had a rough idea of what I was signing myself up to. However, maybe a naive part of me thought, it's a show, like I'm not gonna actually get hurt. But every time before a trial, animal welfare would come out, literally just before you're about to go in, and give you the list of things that could potentially happen.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yeah, so stings, whips, bites, like there was a whole list. It was like a 2-minute speech that they would give you. And so I definitely was a bit naive in thinking that I would be completely unscathed. And I came out, I had scars all over my legs, I had bites, even just by mosquitoes and things like that, and rats running around the castle.
Oh, stop it.
We had cockroaches
sent me over
in the castle. Yeah.
Did you ever then, in one of those little safety speeches, say, you know what, I'm not doing that one. I can't do that.
No, I couldn't. I just couldn't. As much as, I mean, you don't want to do any of them really, but it's what you've signed up for. You want to push yourself. You want to come out the other end and be able to say, I achieved that. I did that. That is my biggest fear, yet I overcame it. And that's kind of what keeps you going. Plus, there's the, you know, you want to get stars for your campmates. You want to eat. You are starving the whole time. You can't think about anything.
Really?
Yeah.
But then when they give you food, it's like a partridge or something. It's like the most, you know, there's no burger and chips when they feed you. It's an eel. That's the bit I couldn't cope with. Oh.
Do you know what? Especially because we got a full house of stars that evening, and it was Jordan that had won it for us, and it was the first time he had ever gone on a trial by himself, bless him, and we were all so excited to see what would come down. And then it was the texture more than anything. It was so slimy, and it just tasted like the ocean. That's the only way I can describe it. It was horrific. And you were starving, so you're not that picky. I mean, the squirrel wasn't too bad, but the eel...
Oh, stop. Stop.
Your taste buds become acquired.
I heard your mum say that you'd never really spent any time apart from Noah before I'm a Celeb, and you still shared a bed with her. So how did you both cope with that separation?
Yeah.
Well, she coped completely fine.
As always.
Before I went into the castle, I'd recorded messages for her to open every day, just saying, hi, it's mummy. Have a nice day at school. You've got PE today, for example. And I recorded 3 weeks worth just in case. And I remember when I came out and I was
That's really kind. That's really nice.
I thought so. But she didn't watch any. I said,
no.
I asked her dad, I was like, did she really like my messages? And he was like, no, he was like, oh, she didn't want to watch them, so I just didn't let her. And I was like, did she enjoy watching me on TV? And he was like, he tried to put it on one day, and she just asked for Spider-Man instead. So, yeah,
she was
absolutely fine. I was the complete opposite. I was a wreck.
Spider-Man or mummy?
Do you know what I mean? I'm very insulted. But yeah, no, in a way, it was nice. I'm glad that she didn't miss me too much.
Yeah, you wouldn't want her to be upset.
No, of course not. And now, should there be an opportunity, like with work, to travel, whatever, I know, actually, if I go, she's going to be absolutely fine. But I think being away and not having my phone was the hardest thing to wrap my head around. Being away for 3 weeks wouldn't have been so bad if I could FaceTime her in the evening.
Yeah, that's really, really tough.
Yeah.
But so did she spend, your I'm a Celeb time with her dad, is that right?
Yes.
So how do you guys share Noah? Like, we know that you guys aren't together anymore. We have a lot of our audience on Net Mums who aren't with the with their children's fathers anymore. Mm-hmm. We know that co-parenting can be a real struggle to get right. How do you guys manage it and how does it work?
Do you know what? I'm really close with my child's dad's family to the point where I class them as my own family. And
that's nice.
Yeah, I do feel really lucky to have that relationship with them. And from the beginning of us separating, we kind of just went with the flow and made it happen. And without it being strict, kind of naturally shared 50% responsibility each. It's really hard to follow any rigid plan because of the nature. He's an actor as well, because of the nature of both of our jobs. You know, to say, oh, every Sunday to Wednesday is your day would be unrealistic because something could come up and it could all change. We do try and follow like rough days, but then we're super flexible at the same time. Like, he's filming for the next couple of weeks, so I'll have Noah for the next 2 weeks. There's been times in the past where I've had like super busy months at work and he will have her the whole time. Being respectable of each other's lives, working lives, but also private life as well, because we do want to have time where, you know, we see our friends, and, well, not so much these days, but prior to lockdown.
Yeah.
And so is that how you cope childcare-wise, when obviously working as a single mum and, like you say, working mm-hmm. in a job like you're in, where it's kind of all or nothing a little bit, isn't it? You're either in something and you're working flat out, or you're maybe not in something. Is that how you manage it? You're just lucky that you're both quite flexible.
Yeah, and in a way it's quite nice, because I will be all in something, but then I will potentially not be working for the next couple of weeks. So then I get to fully immerse myself in just spending time with Noah and doing all the things that, you know, I daydreamed about when I was working until 3 days, and I'm like, oh, get me back to work.
Yeah, we know that feeling.
We're all daydreaming that right now, Jess. What I did in the office with a coffee and nobody talking to me.
Oh, if only. Soon. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We'll get there.
There is.
So what is next for you, Jess? You finished I'm a Celeb. We're in flipping lockdown.
Yes.
When it lifts, what are your next projects? What are you going to do next?
Do you know what? I think one thing being in the castle taught me, and accepting to go into the castle, is just that I want to use 2020 as a year where I say yes to things that I maybe wouldn't have, and just see what happens in terms of projects that are coming up. So many things are on pause, on delay.
Yeah.
I'm not, I feel like if I put too much pressure on myself, I'm a Virgo. I'm really...
I'm a Virgo. We're the best, but we also worry too much, don't we? We worry way too much.
We worry so much. We're big control freaks, and we feel guilty about not doing things. So I feel like, yeah, this year I just want to be a little bit less hard on myself, not feel guilty about, you know, working too much or working too little and things like that. And just, yeah, taking opportunities that come that might not have necessarily, but... being open-minded. But
I think that's a really good way to be for a year where none of us know what the hell is going to happen, you know.
No,
we all thought Christmas was going to happen, and then 2 days beforehand it stopped happening. So it's a really good way to be, to just be like, do you know what, let's see what 2021 throws at me.
I heard a really good mantra recently. Someone said, anyone can do anything just for today. And that's all you can do, isn't it? All we can, any of us can do at the moment is get through today and then see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to survive. I just want to make it to 2022.
I know. So, but what about music? You started out in a band. Do you think that might happen again, or is that ship sailed for you?
I love music. Music for me is up there with acting and performing. I highly doubt I will ever be in a girl band again. I love singing, but like maybe on the other side, like maybe involved in music in some way, in but not the performance side. No, I feel like I'm a better actor than I am singer.
That's interesting. Well, a lot of people would agree with you, wouldn't they? Now, I know, Wendy, you were keen to ask all about EastEnders.
Love EastEnders, love a bit of EastEnders. So we know you as Chantelle, and your character raised mm-hmm. awareness of domestic abuse in the most shocking way. Mm-hmm. How was it to be the face of such a serious issue? And is it hard not to take that stuff home, I guess?
I think it was a complete honour, but also it was a pressure, because I really, really, really just wanted to get it right, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But I think with the team that I had around me, because I mean, I just had to kind of make it realistic. There was so many other people involved in making that storyline what it was. The writers, the directors, Toby, who plays Chantelle's husband, that I think as a collective, we really worked well to make it what it was, and Chantelle's, her life, you know, what it was, and the ending and everything. But I did have days where I would come off of set and walk into my dressing room and sometimes just like have a shower or listen to some really, really happy music to kind of shake it off, just to make sure that I shook it all off, because there were days that were really hard.
What's it like to be bumped off, as it were? Like, when and how do you find out that your character's getting the chop and is going to be killed off? And were you pissed off? Like, what happened? How does it work?
So I found out over Christmas 2019 that Chantelle would be murdered. And I had a feeling when I was called to the meeting that it would be to discuss that. There was only two ways the storyline was going to go. He was going to die or she was going to die. So I had a feeling that that would be a possibility. But it did still come as a shock. And it was tricky because it felt like, I mean, I left the meeting. I said, okay, I got in my car, driving down the M25. And it kind of felt like I was just given the news that a friend was terminally ill or something. Which sounds really odd because it's my character and it's me and it's not real. And I should know more than anybody that it's not real. But it felt like all of a sudden I needed to kind of mourn my character, to say goodbye to my character. I would get dressed in the morning on the months building up. Well, obviously lockdown happened and changed quite a lot of things. I'd put on like Chantelle's wedding rings and be like, oh, her wedding ring. Oh my goodness. Is this going to be the last time she wears it kind of thing? So yeah, it was weird in that way. And also you join a cast like EastEnders and everybody feels like family straight away. And I think at the time I was told that I would be leaving around April, May. So I would only have roughly 4 months left worth of shooting. And it was like, oh my goodness, I'm not going to see the makeup girls anymore. I'm not going to, you know, take this route to work anymore. And that was sad. But I guess, you know, everything comes to an end eventually. So lockdown happened in March. And I remember thinking, oh, this is going to prolong things a bit. Maybe they might change their mind. And it wasn't until we all got our scripts back that I found out that she would be murdered in the first 2 weeks of filming, which I now think was the complete right thing to do, especially given all the statistics around domestic abuse.
I know.
Over lockdown. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely the right move. And what a powerful way to, like, as a show, come back after being off of air. So, yeah, it was kind of bittersweet, like an honour, but still sad at the same time, everything.
And do you feel, are you continuing any work in the sphere of kind of domestic abuse and championing that cause? Because you've very much almost become like the figurehead for it now. We associate you with that now, don't we?
Yeah, a lot of women do. And it's heartwarming, just like even little things like walking down the street in my local, go into my local supermarket and a woman stops me and she'll, you know, say how she knows me and thank you. And it feels, I almost feel like, oh my goodness, like, yeah, like I was a part of creating that storyline and actually helping women, you know, speak up and leave. And that in itself, I mean, although it was sad to leave EastEnders, I always said, even if it means one woman escapes their domestic abusive relationship, then it was worth it.
Yeah. What a powerful thing to be part of. What a powerful thing to be part of. Now, lightening the mood slightly. as we get near the end of our podcast, we always ask the same last two questions of our guest. First up, Jess, what's for tea tonight?
Oh, have you guys thought that far ahead already?
I'm glad that you haven't. I'm really glad that you haven't, because I haven't either.
Okay, good.
I always feel slightly guilty asking that question because I never have. When we ask, we usually record these in the morning and I'm like, I don't have a clue what anybody's getting fed for lunch, let alone for tea.
I know, I haven't thought about lunch yet either, and it's nearly that time, isn't it?
So no idea. We'll take that. That's a good one.
No idea. Okay.
Well, this next one's even worse. So the next question that we ask people.
But she'll be all right because she's a singer when this next one's going to be fine.
Yeah, that's true. So what we always finish our podcast with is we ask our lovely guests to imagine they're tucking Annie and I into bed for the night.
Okay.
And sing us your lullaby. Nervous laughter.
You may laugh, but we know that everyone has something that they sing when their child is struggling to get to sleep.
Do you know what I used to play to Noah when she was a baby? And it was like magic. It would silence her straight away. David Bowie, Heroes.
Oh, I love a bit of David.
Yeah, but completely random. I mean, it came on the radio once and she was in it because she used to hate the car seat. And it came on the radio and she was literally, as soon as it started, she just stopped crying. It was like my go-to. It was like magic. As soon as I played it, she would just settle. But I'm not going to sing you that. What do I sing with Noah? What do I sing? My daughter loves Beyonce. She's obsessed. And Gwen Stefani.
You're picking really tricky songs here, Jess. Baba Black Sheep will be fine.
You're setting the bar very high.
I should like stick to like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star or something, right?
I would.
Or I could make something up. I could like freestyle.
Go
no,
for it.
Let's not put that pressure on myself.
You are so overthinking this.
That is my middle name. That is literally, I'm a Virgo. I feel like quite a lot of people have probably taken the easy route and sung Twinkle Twinkle, so I'm going to not do that one. I really want to know, what do people sing? I know I'm overthinking this now, guys, but what do people sing at the end of the podcast? What is like...
Some people have a song that they've made up for their kid that they always sing them.
That is so sweet.
Paloma Faith just blew our mind with...
Yeah, Paloma Faith is amazing. Joe Wicks sings You Are My Sunshine, which nearly made me cry.
G sang Edelweiss, which actually made...
Oh, and that, yeah, that made us cry.
That is amazing. I feel like such a bad parent. I do not sing to my child unless it's in the car and we're rocking it out to some Beyonce single ladies.
Well, I just think you and Noah are much cooler than everyone else.
Do you know what? There was a song when I was pregnant that I would sing to her. And so I'm going to sing that song.
Okay, go on.
And it goes, I can feel your little feet kicking inside of me, feel your little hands, high five inside of me, mummy, she loves you, yes I do, I can't wait to see you, my baby boo.
Oh. That was fab. You're the first one who sung that in the womb song, so you get that prize.
Yes.
Oh, Jess, thank you so much. You've been a fabulous guest and it's been lovely chatting to you.
Oh, it's been an honour. Thank you so much, ladies.
It's so nice to chat to you. Good luck with the rest of lockdown and homeschool.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll be thinking of you.
Thank you so much. How does this work now? Do I just kind of press X and then
yeah,
I go?
Yeah, you're done.
You're done.
You're completely done.
Oh, I want to like have more adult conversation. I've been talking to a 4-year-old.
Well, you can phone us back later if you want, just for a chat.
Don't leave me. No, okay, cool. Thank you so much, guys.
Look, you are in a house on your own. Take that moment. Take the silence. Go and just lie down in a quiet room.
Yeah, I would.
That is true. That is very true. I might say that it lasted 2 hours and to definitely not come back before 12 o'clock.
There we go.
Okay, awesome. Take care. See you later.
Lovely to meet you, Jess. Take care. Bye.
Bye, Jess.
Bye.
This episode was sponsored by Tropicana Lean. If you're trying to better manage your kids and your sugar intake, they're here to help with their delicious lower sugar juice drinks.
The new Tropicana Lean range has 40% less sugar than fruit juice on average. Now, that's a big win in my eyes.
Choose from citrus fruit, tropical fruit and mixed berries and pick up a bottle from any major supermarket.